This is Essence of God Space Radio. Yeah, I know. I know you're wondering what happened to my voice. It's recovering. It's becoming better. Lots of things changing about me, coming to a lot of realizations about. Sorry if this is annoying for you, but you're just gonna have to deal because this is my purpose and nothing's gonna stop me from fulfilling my purpose. So yeah, what's been going on? What's been going on with you? What's been going on with me? Jeez. I've been going through like a roller coaster of like incredible blessings, painful times, unnecessary engagements, I guess sacrificing myself in ways that I don't see fit, in ways that I don't see could benefit me. So what are we going to talk about today? First things first, I'm so grateful that you're watching this. I love connecting with you this way. I love the platform we've created for ourselves to express and explore ourselves in this way, in safety and in harmony. By the way, that intro was Amber Khan. She's an incredible, incredible woman. A philosopher, a tarot card reader, counselor. Y'all should check her out. We have a tendency of not wanting to be wrong. And I can understand that. I can understand how and why that comes about. About a week ago, I had this Instagram story about interpersonal and intrapersonal activism. And what do I mean by these things? So interpersonal has got to do with relating people, communicating your social space in the world and how you respond to it and how it responds to you. Interpersonal. Intrapersonal. Lots going on, eh? Has got to do with Mama, ungangivaleli sliding door. Ungivaleli sliding door. Ilontuzan. Izinja ziyakonkotha. Ungangivaleli sliding door kancane. Ngiyabonga. Okay, mommy. Thank you. So intrapersonal has got to do with the mind, how you relate to the mind. I'm just gonna take out the dictionary here because you guys know how I like to use it in these talks. Intra. Inside, yeah, within. So, activism. So I'm gonna go holistic, and holistic speaks to the interconnectivity of all things. How one thing affects the other. How there's so many parallels. Parallels. Lots of parallels. Mirrors. Yin and yang, opposites. That's what we're talking about. So I want to go holistic with this. Speaking about the interconnectivity of all things and how, I guess, our activism is also in our spirituality. What do I mean? Well, I guess systems of oppression. You know, like when the word oppression comes up, it becomes quite political. Or when the word activism comes out, it becomes quite political. And I guess the attachments with politics is, or are, hierarchy and superiority and inferiority, you know? But I want us to disengage from placing what I'm saying on a platform that's far from us, because it's got everything to do with us. You cannot, or it is a large amount of a lack of integrity within our social spaces, in our global community. And the reason I say global is because of the internet and social media. Our community is becoming smaller and smaller. So there is an irresponsibility and some sort of a mob psychology, a trend psychology, follow the trend, sheep psychology of activism at face value. So I say the right things, I look the right things, I tweet the right things, I get retweets because that's the, I guess, common overall sentiment. That's where the winds of change are blowing at the time. So I say the right things and I do the right things on a social context, on a context which enables me to, I guess, be on an illusionary platform of superiority. It's so fucking weird. But I can almost tell, even within myself, I'm very critical, extremely critical of behaviors within myself and of the people around me. And as of late, I've been extremely vocal about the truth. And I'm the type of person who has certain boundaries, and if those boundaries are crossed, I'll make sure to create an even bigger boundary, one that is less pleasant and less kind, in order for another or myself to understand that territory is not something that resonates with my soul, with my spirit. So, I can almost tell. I'm going to make an example with certain men. I'm exposed to a group of men that love me dearly. God, thank you. I'm exposed to a group of men that protect me. And that are very willing to preserve, I guess, or facilitate a space where I can let my light shine. And on my part, I also facilitate that space of safety where, I guess, their vulnerability can be safe. and cherished and appreciated, where their truth can thrive and, you know, be in safety. So, it wasn't always like this. And I don't think I've always been conscientized to the many great blessings that I've had in my life. In terms of men, we're speaking about men. So, last week, I actually cut two people off. Very good friends. Love them dearly, even now. Simply because I could feel that I, in my presence, was enabling them with my love and affection and how I choose to express the love that I have for them and the genuine care that I have for them. I could tell that that was enabling them to continue to play the archetype of the oppressive systems that collectively and at face value we are all fighting. So what do I mean when I say this? In my expression of interest and love, I was giving off, or they were perceiving that as a key or an allowance or permission to continue to be assholes, dicks, misogynists, patriarchs, whilst all of, I guess, at face value, they were feminists. Man, oppressive systems oppress everyone. Even if you're sitting at a place of superiority, you still have the seed of inferiority. So your superiority within the system is not even authentic. True superiority is the disengagement of the archetypes that these systems have and require us to occupy. I'm shuffling. And require us to occupy in order for those systems to thrive. Perpetrator, victim, mediator, judge, perpetrator, victim, accused, accuser, judge. You get it. You get what I mean? Cool. So let's discuss our way forward. Well, I think that for me, so a lot of you know that I've undergone some hectic abuse. I don't have to go into detail, and I don't feel like it's necessary. I think my experience is quite valid. It's happened. I moved on from that. But it's a culture that I guess needs us to pull out of. I was in a meeting yesterday. I called on a couple of artists and great thinkers to come together. And I guess I was calling on people to formulate a system of healing that can be institutionalized, because I feel like, I mean, what if oppression was a compulsory thing? Apartheid was compulsory. We had no choice but to participate in that, and God knows aspects of apartheid are very alive and well today. But we're getting there. It's getting better. I'm an optimist. So, if systems of oppression have been compulsory for over 300 years globally, why in the hell isn't healing institutionalized? Why? And I realized that the very people in our governmental, I guess, places we like to identify of power, even though the people are the power too, people we've placed in positions of, I guess, people we've placed in the driver's seat. I think that they don't see it in themselves to heal themselves. And everyone's traumatized. We're living in a very post-traumatic environment. Global Citizen, the concert that happened this weekend, I have a lot of criticism to say about that. I think the only, there's only a few things that stood out as true. Even in amongst the bullshit, there's always a golden gem or a few golden gems. Pharrell, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Sean Machozzi. That was beautiful. That was so beautiful. But, oh, and Chris Martin, I love you. And not to say that everything was bullshit, but a lot of it was bullshit. I had the privilege of experiencing what it was to be, I guess, a commoner in that festival. Commoner. And then also I had the experience of the VIP treatment. Two very different experiences. Extremely, extremely, extremely different. And I'm like, we're global. This is promoting the alleviation of poverty, but the very systems of superiority and inferiority are being perpetuated in this very festival. And what this festival stands for. And I'm just like, a lot of things were fucked up. I felt like I was in the Hunger Games. I even cried at some point. A friend and I were walking around. We came across these three girls. And like the people around were just discussing, like, guys, this is really fucked up. Everyone was just like, yeah. And I think what happened after those very, the people being stabbed after and people's phones being taken after was a complete reflection of our society. I think society in its truest form, because I don't know how much money was spent on that event alone. But there was so much wrong, so much. I feel our leaders, I guess people at the forefront who enabled this to happen, disregarded in terms of culture, in terms of the post-apartheid state, post-traumatic collective state of mind that everyone's in, including them. Man. But I divert. I forget my point. I'm sorry. So this meeting I was at yesterday, I called upon a multitude of people. About 10 to 20 were invited. And then later on in the day, I decided to have it open to the public and see what other minds that I may not be aware of could possibly come and participate. Or actually just to raise awareness that there's things like this happening of psychological reform. And I don't think we can go forward without first identifying the wound and paying attention to it and cleaning it out, then putting a band-aid over it. And every day we make sure that the wound cleaned. Right now, the collective is sedating itself, like, not just even in the Black community, but alcoholism has become a standard. Everyone in this oppressive system is oppressed, even from, and I think maybe privilege can blind people from seeing their own oppression and how they express that oppression by oppressing another. I guess the privilege of, I guess, being identified as inferior affords one the perspective, you know, you are afforded an almost 360 view of what's going on. So, I'm formulating a system. Of psychological reform, parallel to a multitude of great minds and the mentorship of my mother and the NGO that I am spokesperson of and I represent, with the support of Downtown Studios, which is incredible. We're formulating a system of healing. And even if it is not made law, it will be made law within our social communities. Healing will be the standard. Healing from now on is the standard. Much I want to impart on you. You know, our biological makeup, like how we look right now, the interconnectivity of our emotional patterns and our belief systems and the thoughts and narratives we continuously tell ourselves have an impact on our physical makeup, our current physical makeup. I'm gonna make an example. And something that I've noticed with a lot of men in South Africa, I was about to say a lot of African men, but I've seen white men with that too. And I can understand why it's like a lot of people, obesity. I'm gonna speak about that. Louis L. Hay or Imkaba, maybe I shouldn't be that extreme, but Imkaba, building, like, when we feel threatened, we subconsciously begin to protect ourselves by consciously eating more and building up a few pounds, or maybe not even eating more, but our cells maybe retain water or fat, or we're just attracted to the wrong foods. Low vibration. It has been proven that when people are stressed, when they feel threatened, they gain a few pounds. Why? To protect themselves. To feel that sense of protection. And when I look at people in Parliament, I'm just like, and if you know that your belly, like your sacral area, that's where your sacral chakra is. Your root chakra. Is it the root chakra? The chakra of sexuality and creativity and power. Notice Imkaba, the culture of Imkaba. Notice how it's such a normalized thing within our, I guess, I can't speak for other nations, but I can speak about my South African community. It's normal. to be big. And I'm not body shaming, but I'm saying there's a definite interconnectivity of our bodies and the beliefs that we have and our emotional patterns. And that's something that should be investigated individually. I will make this material available in a consolidated manner, but I think it's important that people be cognizant and aware of the information that you yourself are telling you about yourself. Everything is information. You know, when they say your life is a reflection of what's going on inside of you, yes, your body too. Let the healing begin. Let it thrive and continue within myself and within everyone around me. I feel so strong. I feel so powerful. I feel so good about myself. I feel good about myself. In my healing, I feel good. I feel incredible. Because in my healing, and I don't want us to look at healing as a means to an end, but in my healing, there is constant discovery of who I am, 360 view. That I guess I'm not afforded with like that one dimensional, oh, you're so amazing type of mentality. And I accept that. I accept that narrative of amazingness, those good vibrations that could, and I'm appreciative of it. But what I'm saying is healing enables me to experience myself and discover so many parts of myself that maybe I would have been ashamed to explore in goodness, in light. And I think the honesty of my vulnerability with you, with everyone around me, has given me the power to stand in my truth and be authentic. Interesting cards. Okay. Magic. This is a magician card. This was bottom of the deck. The magician has to deal with the construction and the organization of the ego organizing skills. But also, magic is a transmutation of energy. Magic is E equals MC squared. This is magic, where I'm able to transmute, right? I'm able to transmute my thoughts into content. You can't even touch this visual, but you're watching it. If I were to take all of this technology to maybe 100 years ago, they would be like, Yimuloi. Be cognizant of how you are magic. You're constantly transmuting energy, even in your speech, in your movement, in your breathing. I haven't been breathing properly. In your breathing, you are transmuting energy. It's not one-dimensional. There's layers, aspects of it, beyond 360. Okay. Interpersonal activism is essential to growth. Intra, what happens in the mind as above, right? Intrapersonal activism, what happens above, inside, happens below, outside. We will see, you yourself will see, how your truest activism will serve your well-being when you begin to challenge the constructs within yourself that are oppressive. Challenge the idea of superiority and inferiority. Challenge the idea of time. Challenge the idea of money being the ultimate. Challenge that idea. Contemplate. And what do I mean by contemplate? I mean chew on these intangible forces. Ideas are intangible. You can't hold it. You can express it and have the idea's expression become a something, an aspect of it. But that's energy. It's intangible. Okay. I'm gonna do tarot card readings. You can book it below. We can do it via Instagram, video chat. We can do it via email where I make, give me your birth date. You send me a video of yourself, speak about what it is you want guidance on, and I'll do a tarot card reading. As I've stated, tarot card readings are kind of like stepping into a gallery, and I'm with you. And I'm aware of when the different pictures of your life were taken. These are the pictures of your life. Whatever comes up, I'm able to interpret for you and with you. We're able to detach from the situation and look at them from an objective view as a way of empowering yourself to, I guess, move in a different direction, in the direction of faith and certainty. And intrapersonal power. I love you all. This is Essence of God Space Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.
This is Essence of God Space Radio. This is Essence of God Space Radio.